Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back again. Music unapologetically.
Been far too long.
Adam and Travis. Yeah, it has. Your thing looks loose. There's a little knob behind there. If you want to tighten that baby up.
Now I'm back.
Yeah, you are.
So many weeks, man.
I like my microphone stands like I like my woman.
Functional?
Yeah.
Holding your talk stick.
Tight.
Oh.
Anyways.
So many ways that could be.
Yeah, anyways. It's been a couple weeks.
Where you been?
A few weeks. I've been here and there. Where you been?
You've been here and there.
Yeah.
I've been everywhere.
Yeah. You're a man of the worlds. I'm a man of the regions.
You were in quite a few regions.
Yeah, well.
More over here, yeah. Some up here.
Yeah.
And now you're back here.
Yeah, that's how we do it.
There's a lot of music that's popular.
You know.
In these areas.
Yeah. But what we're going to do tonight is the opposite of that and go unpopular opinions.
That's a lot of syllables.
Yeah.
And a lot of really good topics.
Yeah. So I've been kind of holding out on this one, but it is one of the topics I've been looking forward to. Unpopular music opinions.
Let's be honest. The only reason you've been looking forward to that is because you hate crapping on people's opinions.
That's not true at all. As you know, we have a podcast called Highly Unapologetic. And one of my favorite things to do is be a music snob. And tell people their music is scat from the last episode we did with Lewis.
Scoot-a-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop.
So anyways, yeah, what's been going on with you, man, before we jump into this? What's been going on?
A man of many roles.
Yeah.
Just trying to balance them all.
A whole balance.
Is
cheerleader. Cheerleader jargon.
That's a really... I wasn't even going there.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you,
so
you
did. A whole lot of doctoring and a whole lot of cheerleading. Yeah.
It's a busy time in healthcare. Summer is always, kids are, you know, out, sports. And
yeah.
And we're in the beginning of the cheer season. So coaching
two teams.
Oh, is
that right?
Yeah. So
coaching two teams, UTSA and who else?
I coach a brand new Worlds. It's a Worlds level team. It's basically like a collegiate team that competes at like out of an all-star gym.
Uh-huh.
So the owners asked us to see if we could start this collegiate team.
So doing non-NCAA.
Non-NCAA.
Competition.
NCA.
NCAA, National Cheer Association.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, man. Look at me go.
High five.
Yeah. No, that's good, man. Yeah, let's just jump into it. Unpopular opinions, man. And this is going to be my opinions, your opinions. And we may disagree throughout the night.
Kind of like we did about Whitney.
Unpopular opinion.
Already been.
I cannot stand Whitney Houston or her music. It just, I can't get into it. But here's an opinion that may be unpopular. And anybody who listened to my brother's podcast may remember this one from him, but I completely agree with him. But... We've talked about cover music,
mm-hmm.
and we talked about Bob Dylan wrote All Along the Watchtower.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Jimi Hendrix mastered All Along the Watchtower. I think he made it much better.
Mm-hmm.
The original version is very good.
Sure.
Jimmy's is much better. But the best version of All Along the Watchtower, originally by Bob Dylan, perfected by Jimi Hendrix, even more perfected live by the Dave Matthews Band. Now
I have no idea.
Okay, so
that they even covered it.
So they only do it live,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the times it's encore. So he'll do a 3-hour set, mm-hmm. 2.5, 3-hour set, and then he'll
play 4 songs.
That may be true. Listen, man, Dave Matthews Band concert it's an experience. It's maybe 4 songs, but it's a jam session for sure.
And it's I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying.
No, but
you're there for 3 hours.
And you listen to
4 songs.
Yeah, you get 45-minute versions of 4-minute songs.
I didn't know 12-minute fiddle solos could be so.
Okay, so listen. So when I was in high school, I had a buddy named Jason, and he was a big Dave Matthews fan, and he was into all the Dave Matthews Live and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that Dave Matthews did a version of All Along the Watchtower. And I'd never heard it before. And so then, I guess I was, I don't even remember how old I may have been, 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He takes me to my first Dave Matthews concert.
Okay.
Him and I go, and it's a great time. They didn't play All Along the Watchtower, but it got me into Dave Matthews music.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm like I went to the store, I bought all the albums that he had already had out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm buying albums that are about to come out or that are new releases. I remember one CD that I bought, the place was offering because I pre-ordered it. They gave me a Dave Matthews t-shirt. So I'm excited about these things. I'm 19 years old, yeah. 20 years old, whatever. So anyways, I have yet to hear it live All Along the Watchtower at a Dave Matthews concert. But I buy a CD and it's live at Chicago.
Okay.
Okay. The last album the last song on this live recorded album is All Along the Watchtower.
And it was good.
And so I listened to it. And usually what happens is their bassist kind of just goes off into like a big long intro solo. So you know it. So you know if he's getting started, that's what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm listening to this. Okay, cool. This is nice. Singing the song, whatever. So then they get into the jam session part of it. You know, the 30 extra minutes of jam. And the first solo that happens is the fiddle player, you say a fiddle solo, mm-hmm. but he's not playing a fiddle like a fiddle. He's playing it like a guitar.
I've seen some artists do that. It's
and
really
so
cool.
It's a high-pitched, super high-pitched guitar solo, mm-hmm. fiddle solo, All Along the Watchtower, and I was hooked from there. So, you know, fast forward, you know, to some years. I've gone to 15, 16, 17, you know, whatever, Dave Matthews concerts, however many it is. And probably half of those, he's played All Along the Watchtower, and it's better every time.
Really?
So, unpopular opinion.
I'll be watching that.
Dave Matthews Band, All Along the Watchtower, is better than Jimi Hendrix, All Along the Watchtower.
That's, until I hear it, I'm going to have to roll with your opinion on it.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Speaking of hearing it, did we get in trouble for our music that we had in the background?
No.
I know we got the YouTube police.
So, the YouTube police are all over, but one episode we did with actual music,
yeah,
we
got and then in it trouble. Was, yeah, I got in trouble for
but
it.
But yeah, let me go ahead and put it on a playlist real quick.
I liked the lo-fi fruits that we talked
about. Yeah, here we go. Yeah. Lo-fi fruits.
Almost sounds Dave Matthews-esque.
Ish.
So, unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
Given this great state that we reside in.
Texas.
I hate country music after 1998, 99.
Okay.
Let's just say, there's a steep drop-off in the volume of quality country music.
Okay.
And to take it a step further, when I have patients that come in and we talk about music and they say, I love country. Or they say we talk about country and they're like, I don't like regular country, but I love Texas country. And I've listened to a few of the artists that they've recommended, and I dislike Texas country even more than I dislike regular country.
Okay.
And it makes my unpopular opinion is country music is just terrible after 2000.
Okay. Like,
as a whole, the whole genre is just awful.
Okay, so I've been in Texas. Okay, I'm 39 years old, 40. Let's just say I've been in Texas for 3/4 of that. Mm-hmm. Maybe even more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I agree with that. 100%. I don't like country really at all.
Yeah.
Okay? So the old head country fans, like the George Strait and the whoever else back then, they don't like today's country because it's super poppy. It mm-hmm. belongs on, I think, our pop station, 96.1.
Yeah.
That's where it belongs. Okay, cool. I understand that. I don't like the country music with all the heavy steel guitar.
You don't like
that? I don't like that at all.
See, I love that.
That
to me was like when country right. sounded like country. It sounded more storytelling.
So, okay, I agree with that. I like the storytelling. But I also feel like, okay, so George Strait, I can listen to George Strait
mm-hmm.
when there's not a lot of steel guitar. When he's just playing.
Yeah.
Okay. The other day, was in the car and how about them Cowgirls or whatever that song's called came on. I'm like, okay, I can listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's no twang, you know, whatever. I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Texas country goes, I'm not into it. To be able to tell a difference.
I will tell you right now, the reason I'm not into it is because everything I've ever had suggested sounds the exact same as every other Texas country song, and they're none of them stand out enough to go, wow, let me send that to somebody I want to hear this.
Well, right. So I tried to listen to Pat Green. Mm-hmm. He's one of the big Texas country whatever.
He opened up he was the first, he's part owner of that Rustic restaurant.
Okay.
He was like the opening act the very first night. And uh-huh. it was like this whole big deal.
So,
I don't get it.
Right. I tried to listen to him and couldn't tell the difference between him and a George Strait and Alan Jackson and a, you know, the country from back then.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're not the pop country that Luke Bryan and
Florida Georgia Line.
Florida Georgia Line and the dude who just married Gwen Stefani, what's his name?
Trash McTrasherson.
Yeah, him.
That's what his music sounds like anyway.
You're right. No, but I completely agree.
I mean, I get it. People are like, they're loyal to Texas country because it is different. But like, I can have diarrhea and I can also be constipated, but it's both still crap.
That's probably the best analogy that I've ever heard in my entire life.
You can use it.
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm writing that down later.
Another unpopular opinion.
Okay, go for it.
The Spice Girls
uh-huh.
were incredible, and I don't care what anybody says.
Like,
take all the, like, the manager designed, like, designer group out of it.
Okay.
And those girls were all very talented, and like they did a lot for music.
So I'll be honest, outside of what's the big song that
if
they
you want to be my
that's own. The one
yep.
Didn't really venture out into them, wasn't and so my thing was back when they were hot, I guess I was in high school,
late 90s.
Okay, so I was into the Fugees and Lauryn Hill,
which
then I was into Missy Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not venturing out into
girl pop
like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, along the lines of, you know, disliking Whitney Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't into Mariah Carey,
right?
I wasn't into any of the other. And this may sound sexist of me, but it if you are a female artist, you really have to wow me. To like get me,
I'm the
get,
same
to
way.
Get me in. I'm
way.
Just not into female artists. I don't like Beyonce. There's an unpopular opinion.
Oh, that's I'm with you. I
cannot stand Beyonce.
Not a fan at all.
Can't stand Nicki Minaj. Can't stand Cardi B. Can't stand, you know, that part of female artists.
So since you hung yourself out there,
yeah,
you know, and again, 20 years in cheerleading. Been around women and girls my whole life. Utmost respect. So don't, you know, whatever. I cannot stand the, like, I am woman, hear me roar music. Like that, like, girl empowerment.
Right.
Like, the, I'm a bitch, I'm a... Like, I mean, like, dude... Just stop.
With you.
Just stop.
With you. But I'm also not into the vulgarities of Megan Thee Stallion.
That is the musical equivalent of a dumpster fire.
Right.
You just, it's shock value. You're like, you have to see what's going on. And it's literally the female version of Tekashi 6ix9ine. It's how terrible can this be? And I have to feel like the majority of the views and the clicks they get are, click, you have got to see how terrible this is.
Oh, yeah.
Send.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not good.
These artists that are putting out this trash music like Megan Thee Stallion, what does she call herself? And with all the vulgarities and even the music without all the vulgarities and whatever... they have to be just laughing. Like, we put out trash music and these idiots gobble it up.
Well, remember this is a long time ago. We talked about Tekashi.
Yeah.
He did an interview and they were like, I know he's in a bunch of big shows,
right?
Like Breakfast Club and all that stuff. And he was doing one interview one time and they were talking about his songs and they were saying about how, like, real hip-hop artists think that he's garbage and all this stuff, and he reads out some of his lyrics and he goes, this is trash. He's like, this is garbage. He's like, what am I even talking about? This is garbage.
Right.
He's like, this is not good music. He's like, but people click it, they watch it, and it makes me money.
Yeah.
He's like this is complete trash.
Yeah.
But it makes money.
Yeah.
He's very real about it. And which I got a lot of respect for him at that point, because now you got a mid-20-year-old. This is before he got arrested, before the whole rat thing. You got an early 20-year-old who's worth 8 figures, who recognizes what I put out is garbage. It's completely a sham. It's a show. And I'm successful. He's a character. And he lives it fully.
But what I find disrespectful about that comment, respect to that, like, yeah, my stuff is trash. But at the same time, you've got people on, let's say, the rock side of music,
mm-hmm.
who write lyrics that mean something.
Right.
You know?
And, but here's the thing, though.
And they're
it means something. It's meaningful.
Right.
But if the generation that's most listening to music in the fastest way possible, click, cloud, all that stuff.
Right.
We see the value in that.
Right.
But they don't.
Right.
They're a microwave society. I want to push a button. I want to get it back. And I'm done. It's click,
instant,
off, done.
Instant gratification.
And why do you think, if you look at this trash music that's out now,
right.
that we say is trash, to that point, look how short the songs are.
Yeah.
Maybe two verses. Lil Pump is a prime example. Lil Pump had a song that was like a minute and 40 seconds. And it was one of the most clicked, downloaded. It was like number one ranking on YouTube.
Right.
The one that he did with Kanye.
I'll be riding along with Riley sometimes, and this is to your point. And he sees a rap song or a rock song or whatever, and the display on the little screen in the car says this song is 6 minutes long, and he's dumbfounded. Whoa, Dad, why is this song so long? Well, son, because it's good. Number one, when you have a good song,
you don't want to stop.
You don't want
it
to end. When you're making a good song, you want to keep making that good song
and
keep it going as long as you can to keep people's interest. When you're good at what you do, people are going to latch to it. And an 8-minute song is no big deal.
Right.
When I'm listening to a good song, I get oh man, that's the end of it. You know, especially new music. Spotify is my favorite because they have the release radar, and it takes my playlist and everything that I listen to, and it shoots out music that I follow, their new music.
Okay.
You know, so every Friday they put out a new, it's called Release Radar, and it's all the stuff that I enjoy. It's their new music that they just put out.
Cool.
And so when I'm listening to this and I get into a song, you know, and a lot of times I'm like, that kind of sucks. You know, but a lot of times, you know, sometimes I'm like, man, that's really good. Too bad it's only 2 minutes and 46 seconds long.
Right.
That sucks. You know, so there's that. Unpopular opinion. Music died in or around, let's say, 2005.
All music?
Music died. Rock music today is trash. It's that new metal crap. You don't have the same, like the Metallicas and the Megadeths and all that. You don't have your old Pearl Jams or Soundgarden's, Nirvana's. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of them are passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But that's around when music. I remember being in college and enjoying some of that music. It was around 2000, 2001. Outkast was still putting out good music. Smashing Pumpkins was putting out good music that I enjoyed. I mean, you have bands like Pearl Jam who are putting out new music, but it's not the same.
No.
1990s sound. It's almost as if they're kind of conforming to the trash of today.
Yeah. You and I have talked about, like, the hip hop, about Nelly killing hip hop, and it was about that time frame.
Right.
The last good push of country, I think, was about that time. We know the rock stuff. And I've tried to figure out what was the catalyst. You know what I mean? Because it'd be one thing if it were like, you know, this genre, that genre. You could look at certain people may have died. Certain people may have stopped making music. But for there to be that many genres that just hard stop quality.
Right.
I haven't been able to even come up with a theory.
Right.
As to what was the catalyst that, like, that was the end.
So, my opinion, and this is my opinion, unpopular or not, you get into the generations, the Gen Zs, the millennials, and whatever, and the further along you go, the more lazy the generations are.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that, this is my opinion, once you get into the younger millennials.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, I'm in 1982. Technically,
you're like an end range millennial,
right? I'm one of the very first millennials.
So you're a zennial.
Fair.
That subgroup that, like, you see, like, you were part of this and you saw this side of tech and, like, the world, and then you're the first generation of. Like, we're the first iPhone users. We were the first high-speed internet users.
Right.
We saw blue-collar, you know, parents.
But we also
see tech now.
But we also got through flip phones.
Yep.
And we also got through dial-up internet. You know,
like,
so,
I mean, my grandparents had a rotary phone.
Right.
And I know how to use it.
So, I'm millennial because the internet says I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a millennial. I don't feel like my mindset and everything falls into the millennial, you know, how they're viewed.
Mm-hmm.
But music dies because now you've got a bunch of lazy people not only listening to the music, but you got lazy people making the music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's just not good.
When you have, especially nowadays with the SoundCloud, like, right, the hip hop.
Right.
SoundCloud rappers, I mean, they make it in their bedroom. And I'm not saying, like, there's nothing to, like, I don't knock the fact that, like, man, you created a song that people listen to in your bedroom with, you know, egg crate foam in your closet.
Right.
But how good can a song be? You know, like, it's taken this idea of, like, there are these, like, one in a million quality lyricists, quality songwriters.
Right.
And it's like, anybody with a computer and a Casio keyboard can make a song that goes, you know, viral.
Right.
But like, just because something goes viral doesn't mean it's good. I mean, look at the pandemic we're in.
Right.
It's viral and it's not good. And that's just like your poo-poo music.
Poo-poo. Anyways, yeah, speaking to that, SoundCloud rappers, Spotify and Apple Music have now made it easier for you to put music on their platform. And so if you don't have a record deal, you can still put yourself on.
You know why? Because they charge you for storage space.
There it is. And these people think,
oh, I'm on. I'm once I stream me.
Once I get on Spotify, I'll be discovered. Because no one. Listen, I highly doubt anybody that is anybody in the music world is going to SoundCloud and just scouring for the next big thing. Okay, and so these people think, okay, now I can put my cute little rap song on Spotify, and it's gonna pop up. You know, if you like Lil Wayne, check out, you know, little Blueberry Muffin. You know, whatever.
There's only so many words that can come after little or young before there's no more name for rappers.
Okay, unpopular opinion. I hate everybody after Lil Flip and Lil Wayne who have a Lil in their name.
I agree.
I hate that.
And young.
Young, too. Okay, yeah, I'll give you that. And that goes to the point of being lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What can my rap name be? Lil. And so, my buddies and I at work.
All the memes about your rap name is Young and the food you ate last night.
Yeah, Lil Big Mac. Oh, okay.
That's literally could be. And you have to spell the C with like a K.
Yeah.
And two M's. for millionaire, yeah. Multimillionaire.
Yeah.
So dumb. God. Unpopular opinion.
Okay.
Not enough people listen to classical music.
Classical as in,
like,
elaborate on that.
Like classical, like Beethoven, like Tchaikovsky,
okay.
Bach,
like
Handel. Like, not enough people know about it, and the people that do know about it don't appreciate it enough.
Okay, so I fall under the don't appreciate it enough.
Okay.
I'm not, if it comes on, I'm not going to be mad about it.
Mm.
I'll listen to it, but I'm not going to be like, man, that goes on a playlist. You know what I mean?
Have you ever sat like either with like a good pair of like stare like studio quality headphones, or sat in a room with like 5 to 7 speakers set up with multi-drive setup and listened and able to hear the depth?
No, I haven't.
I feel like if you were to like get into this room and just like really like close your eyes and just listen to the layers of a symphony playing like some like just simple as Beethoven.
Okay.
And just listen to it. It transforms. Like to hear, because here's the thing. Here's what I love about it, and that I think a lot of people don't appreciate, is when you're listening to this music, right? This is all instrument music, right? Written by one person. Wrote every note for every instrument, and they tell a story with it. And some of these concertos are like, it's a concert. I mean, it's what concert comes from, like these
right.
long drawn out multi-song things. Is these guys are writing like these 11-12 minute, you know, symphonies.
Yeah.
And they write every single instrument's music. And to listen to this, like Mozart wrote his first symphony before he was 10.
Oh, wow.
10 years old. The guy was playing piano at 3. And to be able to listen to that and go, my kindergartner wrote this, is mind-blowing. It is, I mean, it literally, and I think that for people that say I don't like classical music,
uh-huh.
A, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Or B, you've never listened to it, or C, you don't understand what you're hearing.
Okay, yeah, and maybe that's it. Maybe I don't understand what I'm listening to. However, you brought up the symphony.
Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest albums I've ever heard
mm-hmm.
in my life was Nas
mm-hmm.
Doing the Illmatic. live. This is live doing Illmatic with let me see what with a symphony. I'm not sure.
Was it
the New York Symphony?
No, was it?
Hang on, I'll tell you what it is. Nas, Illmatic with. It was the National Symphony. Live from the Kennedy Center.
Mm-hmm.
It was with the National Symphony.
Mm-hmm.
Not one specific. So I guess they're bringing people all around the country.
Probably, yeah.
Into this symphony. But it's one of the best albums that I've ever heard. So that I do appreciate. I think Metallica did a live with a symphony.
Well, it's a lot of, like, you see, like, the big shows, like... anytime you see like a halftime show or like a pregame show or something, there's always some section where they bring out a full orchestra,
right?
And they play, like, and it's I think people, unpopular opinion, going back to the laziness, part of that laziness is not understanding how music has evolved.
Right.
Everything that you push a button and you hear a sound, somebody had to play that instrument. Create that note and plug it into a digital, like create a digital version of it so that you could go and get that sound.
Right.
Trumpet, trombone, strings, you know, scale up, scale down, like reverb, all that. Somebody had to play that.
Right.
And when you peel back all of the electric and you get back to like just the music.
Yeah.
I don't think people are, they don't realize that everything they have now is because of that. And it all goes back to when a 10-year-old wrote an entire symphony by himself.
Right.
You know?
No, absolutely. Yeah. I get it. And I agree with that.
So that's, before we get to the end, that's your homework.
Yeah.
Is to find one person, Tchaikovsky, Bach, Mozart, Handel, Beethoven, somebody.
Yeah.
Schumann. And just listen to like 10 minutes of one of their songs.
Right. You know it's cool when you've got one of the greatest movies ever made known to man in life on the world, Bill and Ted's
Most Excellent Adventure.
Most Excellent Adventure, and they're bringing back Beethoven. Okay. So yeah, I'll do that homework and I'll do it happily.
You know, I think that another like really good. So, Tom and Jerry.
The cartoon. The Cat and the Mouse.
If you ever go back and watch Tom and Jerry, like now, watch it, but kind of blur your vision, kind of zone out a bit and listen to the sound effects of the show.
Orchestra.
It's all orchestra.
It's, yeah.
That's it. Even like when they run into things, it's percussion. Like when they're running away from each other.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, strings. It's literally just an orchestra.
And people probably don't even realize it, too. That's literally what's happening during all these great movies that they're watching.
The ominous tones,
the background music. They're coming up on the bad guy, and the music is getting heavier and heavier and heavier. It's an orchestra.
Building the suspense.
Right. So, yeah, it needs to be appreciated more.
So, classical music.
And by me, I will do my homework and get more into it. What else we got? Unpopular opinions. Okay, let me do this.
Okay.
Okay, unpopular opinion in the 90s music.
Okay.
Okay. You know I love the grunge music.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know I love Chris Cornell. So of the grunge, you've got Nirvana, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, and Foo Fighters. Those are your big ones,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm going to name a band in the 90s who are better than all of them that I love still to this day. And even their new music that they've been putting out lately
mm-hmm.
is still good. And that's the Smashing Pumpkins. Better than all of them.
So I never got into the Smashing Pumpkins. Not that I didn't like them. I think I probably know of maybe two songs.
Right.
But I never saw them. They never struck a chord where I was like, I gotta have more.
Right. Just never did.
And even then, like, knowing that, like, trying to appreciate the older stuff, Never had an interest.
Okay, and I'll take it a step further. Okay, I love their hard, mm-hmm. their like thrashing style, rock and roll music.
Mm-hmm.
Zero, bullet with butterfly wings or something like that. You know, whatever. But I enjoy their softer rock.
Mm-hmm.
Galapagos, 1979. That's much better than their actual like hard thrasher rock.
I do like 1979
music, and I'll say that about all rock music. Metallica, for example, Unforgiven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's one of their best songs, as opposed to all the music that they're just thrashing and headbanging. You know, it's the toned down, softer version where you can't really like headbang, mm-hmm. you know, or mosh to it or whatever.
You're like, you're forced to listen,
right?
Versus just react,
right? So for rock music, that's what I feel like I like better. That's better than the headbanger type. And maybe that's an unpopular opinion.
Unpopular opinion. I think that the battle, like, era of music where everybody was just like Backstreet Boys versus NSYNC, Christina versus Britney, I think it was all a farce just to get people to listen to music that was not very good, but done by very good artists. Because I think Backstreet Boys are like, they're sing, like every one of those singers is great.
Right.
I think NSYNC, great. Right. But I also think that like, if you'd have taken them individually at first,
right,
and tried to do individual artists, 90% of the sales would not have happened. But it was the fact that it was just like, boom, this like, the group,
right.
And that it was all just like a ploy to get people to listen so that they could like break things up
so that Justin Timberlake could blow up. Okay.
Because he was good. I mean, on Mickey Mouse Club, he was like the standout.
Right.
But
who else was on Mickey Mouse Club with
Britney
it?
Spears,
Britney, Christina?
JC Chazé, I think, was uh-huh. on it.
Okay.
Who else was on there?
But I think you're right. I don't think you can do Justin solo.
Until
Lance Bass solo. I don't think you can do all that and then try to be like, hey, y'all are great solo. What do you think about doing this with these, you know, four guys? I don't think that would have worked.
So I guess to evolve my unpopular opinion to a more concise point, I think the only reason why Justin Timberlake has a career
is because of
NSYNC. Is because he carried NSYNC the whole time.
Right.
But he should be thankful that he had to.
You don't think that the whole plan the whole time was, hey, let's break Justin out with this group and then he'll just break away?
I think that the managers and producers likely realized his talent,
uh-huh.
but realized that he was probably too green to do it by himself.
Exactly. That's exactly where I was getting at. I think he was too young to go solo because I feel like when he broke away, the music matured.
Oh, a lot.
Like a ton. Like so you can, like there's a thick, just noticeable line from NSYNC music, teeny boppy, you know, whatever, over into Justin Timberlake. Just like there's a thick line with Justin Bieber.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can literally tell
when Usher stopped controlling his music.
Right. You can literally tell when he grew up and his music got more mature. Mm-hmm. Two albums. It's been two albums. There's just that line.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can't say that about a Britney Spears.
No.
Or Christina Aguilera.
Look how they've aged. Like
right.
Milk.
Right. Just rotten.
Unpopular opinion. Speaking of Britney Spears.
Uh-huh.
I know there's the Free Britney movement. I'm probably going to catch a lot of flack for this. Because
I hope so.
Because I feel like I'm trying not to go off of just what like the media is guiding us to see. I'm not convinced that Britney doesn't need some sort of mentorship. Not conservatorship where she has zero control over life, but I feel like it's like, I don't know whether being under that, like under her dad's thumb and the court's thumb has made her appear more mentally unstable, or if her being mentally unstable has led to the conservatorship more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's too many of these social media posts and things where I'm like,
So maybe she doesn't need the, what do you call it? The
conservatorship?
Yeah, of her dad.
Yeah.
But I feel like she definitely needs a baby. She needs a babysitter for sure. So do you remember when, you know who Adam Pac-Man Jones is? Mm-hmm. Okay, so do you remember when he signed with the Cowboys? Mm-hmm. He had a babysitter, mm-hmm. a 24/7 babysitter yeah. because of his immaturity.
Yeah.
That's what she needs.
And that's the thing is, you know, I see, like I listened to her whole, like that whole court.
Right.
Her like I don't think it's not a deposition, but like her story, right? Where she came out and she spoke her piece and talked about, you know, her mental health and being a prisoner of her life and all stuff. Like, I mean, it struck a chord. Like it made my heart hurt.
Right.
It really did. To hear somebody who is under that much guardianship and recognizes it.
As an adult, yeah.
But then on the flip side, like I see her social media post where like her makeup's like running down her face and she looks like she's just lost in her own head, you know? And that's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's this caused that or if that is the reason why they felt like they needed this, but I don't think that she needs no supervision. Like the whole like free Britney, like I'm like free Britney asterisk.
Yeah.
Like free her, don't make her a prisoner, but like she needs help.
Free her from her dad.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Free her from her dad, but get her help. I feel like a lot of musicians just need therapy, just daily check-ins. Mm-hmm. Metallica did a documentary, I want to say in like 2003-ish. Mm-hmm. They did a documentary where they were making one of their albums. And that's what it was. It was the making of, and I can't remember what album, whatever. I don't even remember which one, but they incorporated therapy to it to a point where Hetfield took a year off.
Really?
And they didn't know, just the therapy got so thick. He went into alcohol therapy. Like he had to leave the situation because Lars Ulrich. Here's an unpopular opinion. Lars Ulrich. No, this is a popular opinion. Lars Ulrich sucks. Like Lars Ulrich sucks. He's a horrible human being.
He just looks like a douche.
He just looks like no. And that's
like you look at him. Like I don't even look at him and go like, oh yeah, okay, nice guy. He just like just your face. You just do something.
It sucks when one of the best drummers ever is just a
tool.
Narcissistic tool. And I feel like he's the reason Hetfield drinks.
Probably.
He's one of the big reasons Hetfield took that year off, where mm-hmm. they're in the middle of making this album and he just takes off.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets to a point where they didn't even know if that album was gonna be made because Hetfield was like, I'm not coming back until I'm ready mm-hmm. to come back, till I feel like I'm recovered enough to come back. And it's that therapy. I think everybody needs it.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got that many eyes and ears on you at all times, yeah, you're going to go crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like athletes.
Oh, for sure.
Athletes should go through, you know, some sort of counseling during their career.
They need financial counseling and they need... Like, welcome to being a celebrity. Let's sit down and talk about what you're going to experience.
Right. In the NFL, like, rookie symposium, I think that's trash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's trash when you're getting your financial advice from other NFL stars. Get it from Warren Buffett.
Yeah.
Or Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Someone who has made millions, lost millions, made it again.
So here, I want to tell you something. Like... With the NFL, and I know this firsthand because I work with every day a former NFL athlete.
Can you say who? Or is it
his name? His name's Dwayne Missouri. I work with him. He's my teammate.
Oh, okay.
And Dwayne and I have talked about this in depth because now, you know, because of what the public perceives as like you're a pro athlete, right? Like you think pro athlete, like you're a Tom Brady, you're a LeBron James, you're this, right. You're that, you're Michael Jordan, right. You're Charles Barkley, Shaq, like Tiger Woods, right? I work with a guy every day. This dude's amazing, right? Loves our patients. Patients love him. He's 6'5", gigantic man. He was 6'5", 280, defensive end, with running a low 4.40.
Right.
Played in the NFL. So the very first episode of Hard Knocks.
Uh-huh. Well, it was him.
Was about him.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
the very
yeah,
first episode.
Okay.
So this guy played all these years. Then he went to NFL Europe and won a World Bowl.
Okay.
And then he came back and he finished out until the league shut down the AFL.
Right.
Played for Jon Bon Jovi's team.
Okay.
For years, right? And then he went and started teaching, taught for 10 years, and now he does like rehab. He's a rehab tech.
Right.
And the guy's like, and that, like, that's his life, right? And we've talked about life in the league, life out of the league, his buddies that like crashed and burned.
Right.
You know? And he told me, there's this misconception that people like, it's like 1% of guys that go in the NFL that are like multi-bajillionaire, set for life, like blah, blah. He's like, he's like, guys like me, like, you know, we're workhorses, but like, we don't have these massive contracts.
Right.
And like after taxes and your agent and like all this stuff, he's like, it's just a normal paying job. Like you do a little bit better than others, but he's like, but after it's all said and done, he's like, it's like a normal job.
Yeah.
You know? So you just get beat up doing it until you can't do it anymore.
Playing a kid's game and getting beat up.
So.
No, that's awesome.
I think that financial stuff is like, and I've asked him because, you know, like, I was ignorant to it too. You know, like, you know, and when I talk to the, you know, the kids that we treat about, like, hey, have you ever met an NFL player? Have you ever met a Cowboys player? He's like, the Cowboys. And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, you're about to. And I remember, like, I never asked him, like, I know some guys, you know, want to let the past be the past, but like, I never had, you know, I apologize. I'm like, it was very, you know, not respectful of me. Like, is it okay that I tell these people that you were a 15-year professional football player? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I don't mind. Like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, I don't know if it's like a part of his life where he's like, because, you know, not everybody's a Tom Brady. Is it like, well, I don't want people to think I'm a failure.
Right.
And it's like the overwhelming majority of guys just live a normal life after the league.
Right.
You know, like an average Joe life.
Right.
And he's like, no, man. He's like, that's fine. And I just realized my ignorance to it, too. So, like.
That's cool, though.
Needing a mentor. Like, yeah. Because there's a really good chance after this, you're going to be a teacher. Or you're going to sell cars.
Sell
or you're
going to
sell real estate or insurance. Like,
that's
going to be your normal life. Like, you got to have a plan, you know? So I agree with you. I think but it's cool. Yeah. I mean, like you walk in his office and there's his helmet from when he won a Big Ten championship.
Where do you go to school?
Northwestern.
Nice.
And then he's got his other helmet right next to it. That was the the Berlin Reign that he won the World Bowl with.
Right.
And then there's a poster on the wall, just massive poster of him when he played for the Philadelphia Soul.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, dude. He's 6'5", 280.
Yeah.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
Beast. He's such a cool dude.
The thing about it is, man, even these no-name football players, and we're getting off music real quick, even these no-name football players are still good at what they did. You know what I mean? So.
And no-name, that's no disrespect.
And I mean, no disrespect.
Like no-name as in, like, you're not watching, like, they're like ESPN top 10 plays.
Right.
You know.
You're standing next to Joe Montana.
Yeah.
I'm not going to know who you are.
Right.
Even though you played.
Well.
15 years in the league.
And won a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
You're decorated.
Right.
You know what I mean? Those are the ones that you get mad at when they fumble a ball or they strike out looking.
Right.
You know, on a third strike, you know, whatever. And you go, man, you suck. When in reality, they don't really suck. They have worked their whole lives to get to the MLB or the NFL or the NBA. They're just the lower tier of those professional athletes, but they would still make you look like an idiot on the field, whatever that sport is.
Well, you got to think, too, like, linemen, I think, get crapped on the most,
okay.
Right? You got Tom Brady, who's incredible. Tom Brady's only good because he's got seven giants standing in front of him that are better than the four giants standing in front of them.
That's fair.
And the only reason why your defense gets amazing picks that, like, run back is because you've got four giants that are faster than the seven giants standing in front of them.
That's fair.
So, like,
yeah,
you are a nobody without the quote-unquote nobodies standing in front of you.
Right. No,
you
know what I mean? Yeah.
So, anyway, yeah, the therapy stuff I totally agree with. Or the financial, not therapy, the prep, like, yeah, mentoring.
Yeah, I knew the rookie symposium was a joke when they played they aired a speech that Chris Carter gave. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Chris Carter was known for doing drugs, mm-hmm, and when he was with the Eagles and getting cut by the Eagles and almost, you know, falling out of the league completely before he went to Minnesota and made a name for himself. But he's at the rookie symposium one year telling the rookies to get a fall guy in your group. If you are going to be a troublemaker, get you a guy on your payroll that when something goes south, he's going to take the fall for you,
mm-hmm,
even though you did it.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the rookie symposium became a joke. That dude's an idiot. So anyways,
I digress. So music.
Yeah.
I had one that before we started talking about NFL, and I'm trying to remember it because I remember it was really good. Like, unpopular opinion.
Well, let me go with one.
Please.
Okay, so may or may not be unpopular, but I think in my top five genres of music, mm-hmm, I would say even top, maybe pushing top three, mm-hmm, is the Jazz Cafe, mm-hmm, with, you know, the big bass that they're playing like this, and a woman in a dress with a scratchy voice singing to the music.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just thought of mine.
But
it goes... You did so well because that sparked it for me.
So I remember watching this movie, and it's called The Score. Have you ever seen this?
Mm-mm.
It's Edward Norton and Robert De Niro.
Mm-hmm.
And they are living in Canada, and they team up. They don't really, they're enemies, they're robbers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to steal a scepter from, you know, some building in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert De Niro's character is dating this black girl who sings at his jazz club.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it cuts into the jazz club and she's singing, and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a lady that I found on Spotify one year named Kat Edmondson. And she's just a scratchy voice singing to jazz music.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love jazz without words.
Right.
You know, the saxophone and the big bass and all that.
And freeform jazz.
And the piano. But I'd love it even more when there's a scratchy-voiced woman singing. Now, those are the...
Counter to a few minutes ago when we talked about how much we dislike...
Right. But they're actually singing music
for sure
that means something.
For sure.
It's not wet, whatever else, body parts, you know, and here are my, you know, here are my boobies and, you know, whatever else. Okay.
I agree.
I can get into that.
So I will not.
And they're not mainstream.
For sure. I will not. I'm going to preface this by, I do not promote drug usage.
Okay. I don't either.
We've talked about this. My brother passed away from a heroin overdose in August. I do not promote drug usage. But I am, for just the music, I'm okay with people that did illicit things back in the day, because I'm a firm believer in the no junk, no soul.
Okay.
Because there are too many artists whose music that we love that it would have never gotten there without the junk they had flowing through their bloodstream.
Okay, so let me ask you this. When you say this,
mm-hmm,
who comes to mind first?
Ray Charles.
Okay. Pink Floyd comes to mind first when I do it. Have you ever heard that the Dark Side of the Moon album, you started on the second Roar of the Tiger for
Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz.
Trippy as hell.
And it is trippy.
Trippy.
That's an album made on acid.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, laced
acid.
Absolutely.
Santana, acid.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Charles, heroin.
Now, I'll say this.
Look at Motley Crue.
I'll say this, okay? I'm going to take all these illicit drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to exclude marijuana because anybody can do anything on some marijuana.
Right.
Okay. We're talking
hard.
The hard drugs. Cocaines, the blow, the
acid,
heroin, acid, eating mushrooms.
Yeah.
I don't think 70s, we love 70s and 60s, 60s and 70s music.
Mm-hmm.
There was all kinds of drugs running through their system when they're making this music, and I can only imagine how horrible the music would be sober.
We'd only have disco.
Were they just smoking weed?
No, disco is a bunch of cocaine.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't have disco either.
Yeah. What you would have is a bunch of post-2005 music.
Yeah. And I know this sounds terrible. Like, again, not promoting drugs at all.
Right.
But understanding that music that we all love, because music now is still an evolution of music from the past.
Right.
And the best music, 70s is one of the top decades of music.
Absolutely.
And I can tell you right now, if you ask any person, tell me your 10 favorite songs from the 70s,
drug
more than
induced.
Half of them are going to be, would have been made on something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Ray Charles, that's a good one.
Dude.
I was not expecting
heroin,
that.
Heroin, bro.
I was not expecting that.
He, oh my God, on so much heroin.
So I don't know why heroin. Pink Floyd was my first one. It's probably the Wizard of Oz thing.
We did the Doors.
Oh,
Jim
Morrison. Oh, have you ever seen that movie? You need to watch it.
I haven't.
It's called The Doors. It's
we talked about that.
Yeah.
Like the name of it. Like he said peyote opened the doors to his mind.
Right.
Yeah.
Val Kilmer.
I've seen the trailer for it. But
oh my gosh. Go watch it. It's trippy. It's made. It was made on drugs. It had the whole movie had to have been made on drugs.
Sure.
It is wild. I watched a Woodstock documentary not too long ago,
mm-hmm.
and all that music.
Oh yeah,
they were
tripping.
Drugs brought you one of the most iconic national anthems ever made, ever mm-hmm. played by Jimi Hendrix.
Mm-hmm.
Sweating LSD, tripping balls,
mm-hmm.
and playing one of the greatest versions of the Star Spangled Banner you'll ever hear.
So yeah, that's not promoting it, but I say this hesitantly.
Not promote.
Thankful for their ability to have made music.
Not
under the influence. I think that's a better. I'm not thankful for the drugs. I'm thankful for their ability to stay coherent enough to create magic while on it.
Not promoting it, but accepting and thankful.
That it's them, not me. I get to enjoy it without the drugs.
Right, absolutely. They are what you call, or what I would call, just a sober high.
Yeah.
Because you're listening to their high.
Yeah.
And it's
and you feel it.
And you feel it, yeah. Absolutely.
Like, I mean, if you close your eyes and listen to some of that psychedelic rock.
Oh yeah.
With like, turn the lights off. But that's just listen to it. If you don't feel some sort of way,
yeah,
you're not listening.
No, I agree.
Like, you're really not listening.
I agree. Got time for a couple more. You got any more? Let me say this. Hip-hop beef. I want to say, unpopular opinion, my opinion is 90-ish percent of it, fake.
Oh, for sure.
I feel like the Nas and Jay-Z was fake.
The whole time?
The whole time.
I don't know about the whole time.
I'll say a majority then.
I think when they realized how big it was getting, they both realized that it was something they could capitalize on. And they
exactly.
kept rolling with it. I think there was probably a little bit.
Tupac and Biggie, I feel like it was real.
That was definitely real.
N.W.A. with Ice Cube and all them, I feel like that was real. But once you get out of that, once you get into like Eminem and Machine Gun Kelly.
No, that's all garbage.
Fake.
Completely.
Eminem and Nick Cannon, fake.
You remember, I think we talked about a while ago, when Tupac and Nas had their beef. It was very short-lived.
I don't remember.
So Tupac and Nas had it was like an East Coast, West Coast thing.
Yeah.
Right? And Snoop Dogg tells this story. And he was with Pac. And Pac and Nas met up, and Pac had his whole entourage with him. And Snoop said that he was with Pac, and Pac started talking like you know, yeah, you know, you saying all this stuff now. Say something now. Say something, you know. And he's like, no, he's like, Pac, man, it's nothing but love, man. Like, you know, I respect, man. I like that. I like your music and this and that. And Pac's like, yeah, that's right. You know, yada yada yada, like just flying off the hinges. And Snoop said he kind of took a step back and looked around, and all of Nas's people were like, kind of like getting ready, you know, just kind of getting settled in. And he said that he and Pac walked away, and Pac's like, that's right. Like, I told this mother, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Snoop said he looked at Pac and went, no, he let us go. Like, he let us leave. And like, just like, Nas's crew was just like, it was about to be over. Like, Snoop's like, I just kind of looked around. He's like, I just saw everybody getting ready. And Snoop's like, he let us go that day.
That, I've never heard that story, but that makes me
coming
happy.
From Snoop, listening to that story, I was like, yeah. I mean, I got like,
yeah,
kind of uneasy.
Yeah. That makes me happy, though.
Queensbridge, man.
Yeah.
You cats don't play.
Listen, man, I'm all about the New York hip hop. And I feel like New York hip hop is the best hip hop.
Yeah.
By far. The East Coast, West Coast beef. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a beef, man. There was. It's like saying it's like a rivalry, mm-hmm. you know, that, you know, the Cowboys and the, you know, who's somebody that beats the Cowboys all the time, the you know, whoever, you know, or the, let's just say the Eagles and the Giants. Mm-hmm. It's not a rivalry. The Eagles been beating up on the Giants for 10 years now, mm-hmm. you know, type thing.
Yeah.
That's what the East Coast, West Coast rivalry to me was. It's not a rivalry.
No.
East Coast would destroy these dudes, not only in the studio, but in, maybe in the streets.
Yeah.
You know? But you got anything else? We're right at an hour. We did pretty good.
I think we did pretty good.
Yeah. All right, so let's shut it down and let's give some people something to listen to.
Classical.
Classical rock or classical Beethoven, classic. Bach, whatever. Yeah. Give them something else. Give them two more.
Go listen to two other Spice Girl songs.
Oh, okay.
And
I like that.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs.
That's your homework. Don't do drugs.
Okay. I'm into that. Okay, so I'm gonna go with number one, the Gorillaz. They have not gotten, listen, man, the Gorillaz, yeah, up here. They're one of my favorite groups ever. I've seen them live before. And they put on,
it's only two dudes, right?
No, it's a whole band.
I thought it was just two guys. Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of dudes, actually. And they never, as far as I know, the concert I went to, mm-hmm. they played behind a curtain with silhouettes, you know, drawn out real big on the curtain. Mm-hmm. They didn't play. You didn't see who they were.
I've always thought they were two. Just I think I thought I read somewhere it was just two dudes. Interesting. I have to look. Yeah.
You got more than
Clint
that.
Clint Eastwood.
Clint. Yep. There's that. Next, I'll go with, if you're a fan of Pharrell,
which I am,
go check out his rap group, NERD.
I liked NERD.
Yeah, I did too.
They were good.
And I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go a different route on my third. Let me just go for it.
Unpopular opinion.
Okay.
It's maybe not be unpopular. It may be unknown.
Okay.
Everybody knows in the United States knows about artists that are big here.
Uh huh.
The biggest artists in the world pale, like United States artists pale in comparison to these international artists. Like these people that, you know, like, oh, I got a platinum album. I sold a million. Some of these international artists, like from Spain or from Mexico, that do tours all over the world,
uh-huh.
go like triple diamond
yeah.
in 1 year.
Right.
So I would suggest to people to find, like, look into some internationally big artists, like how Yanni was in the 90s. This cat did shows all over the world, right? So, like, try to find, like, if you Google, like, top selling international artists okay. of the year. Find an artist that you may have never heard of that has sold like 150 million albums, but you just never heard of them because they're not mainstream USA.
Got you.
I saw Yanni. I don't know why that popped in. I think it's this lo-fi stuff.
Right.
Like, started thinking of like Enya, like the Irish, you know, Irish and Scottish folks that like they don't tour the U.S., maybe a few spots, but they do like 200 spots all over the rest of the world.
Right.
And just because we don't know about them, like, who is that? Like, no, that's one of the top-selling artists in history.
No, for sure. Agreed. My last one
okay.
is a podcast
okay.
that y'all need to go listen to. It's called No Dogs in Space.
Okay.
Okay. My friend Sarah took me to the airport the other day and put me onto it, and they did a 5-part series on the history of the Beastie Boys. Now, this is a music podcast. They'll right. go. They'll go into you. You might enjoy. Do you like the punk scene?
Yeah.
They do a lot of history of the punk yeah. scene, so you might enjoy all of it.
All the Ramones and stuff.
Yes, and they did this 5-part series with the history of the Beastie Boys, and it goes so in depth into like Russell Simmons, you know, Run DMC, and it made me realize how alike Run DMC and Beastie Boys are.
It's, I can see that.
It's wild, and they played excerpts of songs next to each other, and I went, "Wow, that does sound like the Beastie Boys," or "Wow, that does sound like Run DMC." So it's called No Dogs in Space. So go check that out. Do us a favor, y'all. Like, subscribe, share, follow. Tell your mothers hello. Tell everybody about us. We'll tell everybody about you. And until next time, we'll catch y'all later.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.